This class is Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy, and Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy by Apostle Jonathan David. Tonight we're going to cover chapter 6, which is Principles for Effective Prophesying. Once again, as always, I'm always thankful for the apostolic leadership of our apostle and the founder of this school of ministry, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. I would like to encourage all of you to pay particular attention to the subject matter that he's been teaching on since about, I believe it was January the 20th, where he started ministering on the fear of the Lord. I want to encourage you as students. I know you're part of this school of ministry, but I believe that this teaching is so profound, this impartation is so profound, that it will propel many ministries into a greater dimension of the Spirit. And it's revolutionizing and changing my life. And I've been saved for over 43 years. So I want you all to make sure you give yourselves to that. And your lives will be the better for it. Father, tonight we're so thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. He knows all things. The scripture says he searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, and make them known or reveal them unto us. I thank you for these students who have taken time out of their schedules of family and work to pursue ministry. And so I thank you that you are equipping them to for effective ministry, especially for these end times. Now, Holy Spirit, help us tonight that we might receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Let us begin. The principle of accountability. The scripture clearly teaches us that God holds the spiritual leaders accountable for the spiritual health and the spiritual well-being of their flock. The purpose of leadership is to bring them to maturity and to a new strength in the Lord. Someone must not only stand accountable, but someone must be held accountable and stand responsible for everything that is said or is done in the church. Failure to observe this principle results in the errors that is found in many gatherings of believers where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation without sufficient responsible oversight. It is only those that submit to authority who are able to minister with authority, a willingness to submit our lives, talents and gifts to spiritual leadership will provide us with proper checks and balances. God has set spiritual leadership within the church so that they can bring the saints to maturity in all aspects of Christian life. Now, this is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. I want to read that passage because I think it's very important to where we're headed in these last days. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now notice this, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Now he gave these gifts, watch it, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and their what? Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? To deceive. But speaking the truth in love, they may grow up into him, that is into Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now in Acts 20:28, I want to look at that too, because that's another demarcation in the realm of the spirit. Paul speaking to the churches that as he was traveling on his apostolic and missionary journeys, watch what he says in Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Keep reading. Paul said, for I know this, that after many departings shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn you every one night and day with tears. Now that's important, because that shows you just how important ministry is. Okay. And then we have Hebrews 13:17. We're going to read that one too. Now notice what the word of God say. Obey them that have the rule over you. And notice this, and you must submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, those are some very key scriptures. You know, there's the leadership side and there's the follower side. And so we have to learn how to obey and submit ourselves to spiritual authority. Submitting ourselves to spiritual authority is not control. It's called yielding. It's called following God's agenda and how he established authority and leadership in the church. Okay, let's go. Those scriptures gives an exhortation of the importance of spiritual oversight. Even the prophets, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, read it all at one time. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. I do that. I have people help me here. Okay. I just don't like, you know, like fragmented. So I'm always training like apostle. Okay, go ahead. We must be willing to have our gifts and ministry evaluated and judged by spiritual leadership. Now, the principle of accountability is seen in First Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1-7, where Asaph was prophesying under the guidance
and
the direction of King David. We're not going to read it. We're just going to keep going because, you know, we have much to cover here tonight. Now, you keep that for, you know, your spiritual enrichment and edification.
The principle of regulation.
Now, we have the principle of regulation.
In
1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verses 27 through 33, lies the principle of proper regulation
for,
notice this, the vocal gifts.
When understood,
this principle of regulation
will remove
a lot of confusion
and disorder
from church services.
The people of God
will be edified
and built up
without quenching the prophetic flow.
1 Corinthians 14,
verses 27 through 28. Now, I want to say this before we read that. This is new territory for many people in the church. The gifts of the Spirit is not taught much in the church. And therefore, you see, not only do you see a lot of chaos and a lot of error, but in some cases, you don't see the prophetic flow in operation at all. Why? Because number one, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we must encourage people to want to not only desire spiritual gifts, but desire to function in the gifts of the Spirit. And we've taught you in times past that prophecy is the elementary level, and the vocal gifts usher in the remaining six, the power gifts and the revelational gifts. So it's very important that we encourage you to desire spiritual gifts. Paul said, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Because greater is he that prophesied than he that speaks in an unknown tongue. Why? Because the person who speaks in an unknown tongue is simply edifying and building up his own self. However, the congregation or people around, they are ignorant of what the Spirit is saying. They're not being edified. They're not being built up. So therefore, we must always seek God. And we're, you know, later on tonight, we'll get into the difference between 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, where we talk about diverse kinds of tongues and an interpretation of tongues being equivalent to prophecy. Whereas when you speak in an unknown tongue and you pray for the interpretation, that's not equivalent to prophecy. And we'll show you the difference later on. So let us begin. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 and 28.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue,
let it be by two.
Are at the most by three,
and that by course,
and let one interpret.
Now watch this now. But if there be no interpreter,
let him keep silence in the church.
Now, we didn't say if there be no translator. See, we're not talking about, you know, like I have my daughter, she's up here assisting me, and she's fluent in Spanish. So she can come talk to me, Dad, I'm speaking in another tongue, and start telling me stuff in Spanish, because Spanish is a known language to her. But we're talking about interpreting what the Spirit is saying through the message of tongues. So you're not giving a word for word translation. What you're doing is giving an interpretation of what the Spirit is saying through another person in a language that is not known to them. That's why we need the Holy Spirit involved, because he's the only one that can escort us into the realm of the Spirit and to teach us spiritual things. According to 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 9, to the end of the chapter. Okay.
Those scriptures
give clear guidelines
to help us regulate
the flow
of tongues
and interpretation.
There are five things
we need to know
from these verses
regulating the message in tongues
and
the interpretation thereof. Number one,
to allow only two
or three individuals
to give a message in
tongues
at any given meeting.
By two
or at the most
three.
It does not mean
two or three
fragments
of a message,
but
two or three persons
giving
a message in tongues.
That's why
you see in 1
Corinthians 27
and 28,
it talks about
doing it by
course,
because
that's not a
fragment.
That's a continual
message.
Go ahead.
Number two,
each delivery of the message
in tongues
must first be interpreted
before another message
in tongues is given.
Each message, in turn,
must first receive
interpretation.
Number three.
Each message in tongues
should receive only one
interpretation.
When a tongue is given,
there may be many others
who feel that they have an interpretation
for the message
that's given in tongues.
Those who did not get
the opportunity
to
give the interpretation
should
give it out
as prophecy.
Even if the
first
and
the initial
interpretation
was not
complete
or clear,
the
giving or the
speaking forth
of
the interpretation
as inspired words of prophecy
will complete it.
Number four.
If our interpretation of the message
in tongues
is similar to the message
that was already
given,
then we should refrain
from giving it out
as prophecy.
And number five.
If there's
absolutely no one
there to interpret
the first message
that's given in tongues,
then all of the other fragments
of the message in tongues
must not be delivered
since there's no one
to interpret it.
Then the one who gave the first message
should pray to God
that he himself
might interpret.
That's 1
Corinthians chapter
14,
verse number 13.
Wherefore, let him that speaketh
in an unknown tongue
pray that he may interpret.
Now, pay attention to that.
Let him that speaketh
in a what?
Unknown tongue
do what?
Pray
that he might
what?
Interpret.
Now, think about that.
See,
with
diverse kinds of
tongues
and
interpretation
of tongues,
that's in 1
Corinthians chapter
12.
That's,
you know, the
three vocal gifts,
prophecy,
diverse
kinds of tongues,
and
interpretation of tongues,
which is equivalent
to prophecy.
And
diverse kinds of tongues
and
interpretation of
tongues,
that
message
is given
directly into
your spirit.
And
God will speak
directly
out of your
spirit
the
interpretation
thereof.
But when it
comes to speaking
in an unknown
tongue
and
praying that you
might interpret,
you got to
pray for the
interpretation.
So right
there, you can see
that there is
a distinction.
Okay, go ahead.
Tongues
and prophecy
as a sign.
1 Corinthians
chapter
number 14,
verses
21 and 22.
In the
law, it is written,
with men of other tongues
and other lips
will I speak
unto this people.
And yet for all.
And yet for all.
That will they not hear me.
And yet for all that they will not hear me.
Saith the Lord.
Wherefore?
Tongues are for a sign.
Not to them that believe. Not to them that believe.
But to them that believe not.
But prophesying.
But
prophesying. Serve it not for them.
That believe not.
That believe not.
But for them which what?
Believe.
Paul states.
Tongues and prophecy.
As being signs.
In this age.
A sign
always points to something
beyond itself
and it reveals a particular or a certain destination.
These two signs
are miraculous phenomena
pointing to a higher reality
beyond themselves
by using the concept.
Concerning signs,
Paul conveys the idea
that each of these two groups of people
was destined for some special consequences.
What is the destiny
that each of these
two signs signify?
Number one,
tongues as a sign of judgment.
In 1 Corinthians
chapter 14,
verse 21,
Paul is actually quoting from Isaiah
chapter 28,
verses 11 and 12.
The reference to the foreign tongue
in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11,
was that of the Assyrian tongue
as a result of their invasion of Judah.
The message born or carried by the Assyrian tongue
was a message of God's judgment
upon persistent unbelief
of his people. Read.
God's offer of rest
and refreshing
was rejected.
So consequently,
they had to face the judgment
of God.
Now,
Isaiah chapter number 28, verses 11 and 12
says, "For with stammering lips
and with another tongue
will he speak to this people,
to whom God saith,
this is the rest.
Wherewith you may
cause the weary to rest.
And this is the refreshing.
Yet they would not hear."
Likewise,
the New Testament tongue
functions as a sign
pointing to the destined judgment
that comes to all unbelievers.
If they persist in their unbelief,
every time
someone speaks in tongues,
whether privately
or in the congregation,
it is a sign
that is pointing towards judgment
against the unbelieving.
As long as God tarries
in his judgment upon unbelievers,
tongues must continuously
as a warning sign
of their eternal destiny
and destruction.
Number two,
prophecy as a sign
of rest and refreshing.
Now, this is to the believer.
If God's people
would choose to believe
and become believers
by heeding God's voice,
they would have had rest
and refreshing.
God offers these blessings
of rest and refreshing
through the prophetic word.
Those who exercise faith
will inherit them.
Thus the continual operation
of the prophetic word
in the church
is a sign and a promise to those who believe. God's progressive blessings will be continuously upon their lives. The prophetic flow is God's sign of another visitation
of the times of refreshing,
and that progressively God will bring his people into a what? Further rest. Now that's Acts 3:17. Let's read it. Acts chapter 3, verse number 17. And now, brethren,
I wot that
through ignorance
you did it.
As did also your rulers.
But those things
which God did before
had showed
by the mouth of all of his prophets
that Christ should suffer,
he had so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore
and be converted,
that your sins may be blotted out
when the times of
refreshing shall come
from the presence of the Lord.
If all speak in tongues,
will the people not say
that all of you are mad?
In 1 Corinthians
chapter 14.
Verse 23,
Paul states an important principle
for tongues
and its operation
within a local assembly.
If therefore the whole church
become together in one place
and all speak with tongues
and there come in one
those that are unlearned
or unbelievers,
will they not say
that ye are mad?
Paul exhorts
that tongues must not
be used
as a medium
of communication.
If we communicate in tongues
to the people present,
they will not be able
to understand
or to respond.
Thus the minds of the people
will remain unfruitful.
We would need proper communication
ability
to produce
corresponding
faith action.
We need to find a way
and a medium
of communication
that will enable others
to participate
with what is happening
in a service.
Thus the conclusion
is that tongues are not evil
nor do they need to be
forbidden
but it should not be used
as a medium of communication.
So then, brethren,
what should be the medium of communication?
A psalm,
a teaching,
a revelation,
a tongue with interpretation
should be used for communication.
Now, it's important to state right here, Paul said, now this is the apostle who wrote over half of the New Testament. Listen what he says. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than all of you.
Now, that's a profound statement.
A man to say, I speak in tongues more than all of the people who were congregating.
But he say, but when I'm present, I rather speak in a language that you can understand than to just keep on speaking in tongues.
See, I've seen this in many churches. People just go off talking in tongues, and people who come in, they say, I need to get up on out of here because we don't know what's going on in here.
And so we have to begin to follow these guidelines
because we're not being spiritual if we're not following these apostolic guidelines for the regulation and use of tongues and prophesying during church services. Go ahead.
The tongues
with interpretation
equal prophecy.
This is a question. Does tongues with interpretation equal prophecy?
Tongues with interpretation
does not
equal prophecy
for all of the following reasons.
A,
number one, A.
Tongues first communicate
directly to the spirit of man.
And then with the interpretation,
it is confirmed to his mind
what has been deposited
and planted into his spirit.
Prophecy
communicates
simultaneously
the word of God
to the mind
and to the spirit of men.
B.
Tongues provide
only the sense of the message.
It communicates the feelings
and the intensity
of the Holy Spirit
into the spirits of men,
making them responsive
to the flow of God's anointing.
It stirs up
and quickens men
with a sense of the message.
C.
Tongues create an atmosphere
of expectancy.
When a message in tongues is given,
silence follows
to allow time for the message
to be interpreted.
This creates an air
of expectancy,
causing all ears
to listen.
And to attentively focus
on what God is
about to say.
Prophecy
brings the consciousness of God
directly into our minds
and hearts.
D.
Tongues and interpretation
provide an excellent opportunity
and way
for the training
of the human spirit.
The sense of the message
is left upon the human spirit.
When the interpretation is spoken,
it gives explanation
and clarity
to what a person
initially senses
within himself.
Thus the spirit
and mind
are taught to work
and to coordinate together.
Now, the principle of faith.
Romans 12, verse 6.
Having then
gifts differing
according to the grace
that is given
to us,
whether prophecy,
let us prophesy
according to the proportion of
faith.
Here we see
that gifts differ
according to the grace that comes
from God
and the faith that rises
from within a believer.
Gifts not only differ
according to the divine enabling
of God
but also according to
the level of faith
developed
in that area
of our gifting.
The more understanding
and workable knowledge
we have in this area
of our gifting,
the more the gift
will develop.
Grace puts into our lives
the necessary enabling
and equipping,
dealing with all of our fears,
limitations
and insufficiencies.
Then a new level of faith
develops in that area of gifting.
A greater a greater assurance of God's strength brings boldness and confidence to use the gifts. Faith rises and releases the supernatural enabling that God has within us so that the needs of others are met. This divine grace that has enabled us will also impart to others the grace that is flowing through us. Thus grace puts into the man and gifts give out what grace has put in. Faith draws God's grace into man and releases it through the gifts of the Spirit. The principle of liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. As long as the Holy Spirit is moving freely in the spirits of men, the Lordship of Christ will be evidently manifested in and through the gifts. When that freedom for which Christ has set us free is crippled by our bodies, our souls, the enemy will capitalize on the work of the flesh to stop the flow of the gifts through us. Since gifts use the medium of our spirits to flow through, we need to be continuously filled with the Spirit. If our hearts are filled with the abundance of the Spirit, our mouths will speak boldly. Next week, we have exams. Be sure and go over your quiz.